Hello and welcome. My name is Declan. I'm a librarian with Kenny County Council Library Service and I'm based in the Local Studies Department. Today we're going to have a look at the history of one of Kilkenny's most historic and picturesque ruins, that of Jerpoint Abbey near Thomastown. And we'll start with the origins of Jerpoint. Not far from Drogheda, by the banks of the Little River Madoc, that was found in the year 1142, the Abbot of Mellifont, the first and mother house of the Cistercian Order in Ireland. Itself the daughter of Clairvaux in France, and thus granddaughter of Citro, the first of all Cistercian houses. It was the parent directly of 8 Irish abbeys and of 10 more in the succeeding generations. From these, before the end of the 12th century, there issued yet another 5 great-granddaughter houses of the prolific first foundation. That 6 of the daughter houses of Mellifont were founded within 11 years of 1142 is striking proof of the vigour and popularity of this new monastic rule. Prominent among the offshoots of the first community was the Abbey of Baltinglass, founded about 1148 or 1151, the parent of Jerpoint, which was dedicated, like Baltinglass, to the Blessed Virgin Mary and variously called in the records and remained with various names such as Jerypons, Jeryponces, Jeropontus, or Seripium. The date of the first foundation of an abbey close to the Rivenor at Jerpoint cannot be stated exactly, but can be arrived at with a fair share of accuracy. Jerpoint itself had a daughter house at Killeney, about 10 miles distance, on the bank of the River Nor, and there is much more recorded about this unimportant abbey, of which little trace remains than of some majestic parent. Among the archives that were previously preserved at Kilkenny Castle is a charter of Dermot McMurrogh, King of Leinster, confirming the grants of lands previously given to Jerpoint for the purpose of establishing this very daughter house at Killeney, made by his liegeman Dermot O'Ryan, Chief of Idrone. This document can be dated from internal evidence at some time between the year 1162 and 1165. The latest year assigned for the foundation of Baltinglass being 1151 and that for Killeney is 1165. Jerpoint must have been founded sometime between these days. The year 1158, midway to the period, cannot be far time off the mark. Felix of Drilani was the first abbot and ruled at Jerpoint until he became Bishop of Ossory in 1178. 4 years later, he died and was interred in the chancel of his own abbey church, where his effigy is still to be seen. Gregory was abbot in 1204 when he, with Imman, abbot of Killeney, assisted at the consecration of the graveyard at Dushk, Greg Manor, on lands given by William, Earl Marshall, to the monks he had brought over from England. The exact date of the foundation of this great abbey at Valles Sancti Salvatoris at Dushk is somewhat uncertain. It was one of the 11 Cistercian houses in Ireland, which did not derive their being from Mellifont, but were colonised from English houses by the Anglo-Normans. That the monks from the Abbey of Stanley in Wiltshire, brought over by William Marshall, dwelt for short periods in different parts of his site before arriving at their permanent home is well attested. However, it appears that they were finally settled at Dushk in 1207. Jerpoint was an Irish foundation and maintained its native character for centuries, but Dushk situated barely 8 miles distance with English in its origins and outlook. Contention rose between the two monasteries and continued for a century and a half regarding the fate of the poverty-stricken little abbey of Killeney, daughter of Jerpoint. This foundation in Irish Ceolna, called in Cistercian fashion Valles Dé and later Glandy, was at a place now known as Barrowmount near Gore's Bridge on the Barrow, about 6 miles from Dushk or Greignamana on the same river, but some 10 miles distance as the crow flies from Jerpoint near the Nore. That there was no need or indeed room for 3 Cistercian houses so close together in this part of Ossory seems obvious, particularly when 2 of them were very large, and one of these 2 under the powerful patronage of the Earl Marshal and his feudal tenants was growing apace. In 1227, Bernard, the Abbey of Froidmont in France, one of the older houses of the order, came to the Irish Cistercian Abbeys on a tour of reorganisation. He came armed with full powers to reduce the poor houses to the status of granges or to unite them to others, powers which extended to the interdiction, suspension or excommunication of all gainsayers, even of the monastery itself in the case of disobedience. Finding Killeney was to be in debt and able to exist independently any longer, Bernard directed his transfer as a grange with all his property to Dushk. His recommendations were confirmed at the orders of the order required by the home houses on the continent, and a formal direction on the subject was sent out to Dushk, and William Marshall the Younger, the Earl of Pembroke, gave his deed as confirmation of the transfer. Needless to say, this summary treatment of his daughter house arose the resentment of Jerpoint, who opposed the transfer. In the same year, the Irish Abbey had been affiliated to that of Fountains in Yorkshire by an act of the General Congregation of the Cistercians, and the English House joined with Jerpoint in its opposition to the reduction and transfer of Killeney. Despite the decision of the highest order in the order, its concurrence to the Abbot of Mellifont and the Cardinal John of Toledo, the confirmation of the King Henry III himself, and by William Marsh of Dares, the dispute reduced persisted for nearly 150 years. It was not until 1362 that Philip, the then Abbot of Jerpoint, finally abandoned all of the claims to his house in respect to Killeney. We may infer that political and racial considerations, aggravated by the disturbed conditions prevailing in the 14th century, played some part in this long drawn out contention. The numerous documents in the case do not throw much light on the other affairs of Jerpoint, but they furnish us with some details of its history during this period, and we'll pick out just a few of them here. We know nothing about the effects of the great pestilence, the Black Death, of 1348-49 at Jerpoint, but the house can hardly have escaped at the visitation altogether, which swept away many of the religious in the city of Kilkenny and many towns. During some later years, 1356 to 1362, and perhaps over a longer period, the Abbot Philip reigned at Jerpoint. He seems to have been a contentious, perhaps an overbearing person, if we are to judge by the accusation made by Thomas, Abbot of Tintern Minor, that Philip expelled him with force and violence from his Abbey of Tintern, imprisoned his prior and sub-prior, and seized some horses and other properties belonging to him. Philip was acquitted of these charges, however, and in 1361, we find him obtaining from King Edward III an exemplification of the charter granted to Jerpoint by John, 1189-99, as Lord of Ireland. This document sends out the original and later endowments of the Abbey in great detail, but the English version of the names of the land mentioned is obscure to them so greatly that few are recognisable. A year later, in 1362, Philip abandoned to Dusk all of Jerpoint's claims to Killeney, binding himself to the enormous sum of £38,400 payable in different proportions to Douce, Sitcho and his daughters, the Order General, the Pope, and to the Earls of Gloucester and Ormond. The clause in the Statute of Kilkenny 1367 to the effect that no mere Irish monks should be admitted into monasteries in the English part of Ireland does not seem to have succeeded in its intentions. In 1380, royal mandates reminded the abbots of the statute was sent to Jerpoint and 20 other houses of the order in Ireland. In 1374, the abbot of Jerpoint was summoned to Parliament by royal mandate, but he petitioned the king in the following year, setting forth the dependencies of Jerpoint upon Baltinglass. The expense incurred in obeying the royal command, the cost of the journey to and from the capital in those days was heavy, and it cannot be wondered at that the abbot desired to be relieved of it. His appeal seems to have been unsuccessful at the time, since a similar summons was sent to Jerpoint 5 years later, but in 1387 the abbot was at last released for a fine of 40 shillings from the obligation. During the latter part of the 14th century, little is recorded about Jerpoint beyond the acquisition of some lands and parishes. A similar lack of records marks the following 100 years. The 16th century events in the Abbey's history before the culminating disaster of its dissolution are of small importance. Some grants and lands of tithes are recorded, and the names of the two last abbots, Nicholas Baron, abbot from 1501 to 1523 at least, was buried at Jerpoint and was succeeded by Oliver Grace. 17 years later, on the 18th of March 1540, Grace surrendered his abbey and his possessions, and in the following year he was granted a pension of £10 issuing out of the abbey lands. During the hostilities of the Butlers against Silk and Thomas Fitzgerald in 1534, the latter fell upon the armoured camp at Jerpoint and routed his enemies. At the surrender, Jerpoint comprised within its precincts the church, belfry and cemetery, a hall, possibly a refectory, 6 chambers, a kitchen, a dormitory, a granary, 2 stables, 2 gardens, a park, and sundry other closes containing 3 acres. The other possessions of the house were large, some 64 messages, a castle at Grange of Kilry, fisheries, weirs, wharf mills, a rabbit borough, and over 1,500 acres of lands, both arable pasture and woodland, and some gardens. This property, along with the beneficiaries' tithes and alterages of some 17 parishes, had an annual value free of all charges, some £70 in the monies of the time, somewhat less than that in the possession of Dusk, whose more distance, however, were waste at this period. In 1539, the Lord Deputy and Council, hearing that all monasteries were to be suppressed, addressed a recommendation to the king that for the commonwealth of the land, six houses, including Jarpine, should stand and continue, changing their clothing and rule unto such sort and order as the king's grace shall will them, unquote, to serve as houses of hospitality in the default of common inns for the deputy, council and other officers. It was admitted that the monasteries had in the past done this at their own cost and had also served as schools for children of the gentry and moreover furnished fighting men. Shortly after the dissolution in 1541, all the possessions of the late abbey were leased by the crown to James, Earl of Ormond, for 21 years at a yearly rent of £86. Somewhat later in the fifth and sixth year of the reigns of Mary Tudor and her husband Philip, the lands were granted to him and his heirs male to hold the same in capital, besides all reprisals at an annual rent of over £49. The rectory seems to have been excluded from this grant. About the middle of the 17th century, Jarpine was still in the possession of the Butlers, but its subsequent history is obscure. Shortly after the foundation of the Kilkenny Archaeological Site, now the Royal Society of Antiquaries of Ireland, this body voluntarily undertook works of preservation on the fabric of the abbey. They were begun in 1853, while 14 years later the society caused the tower to be repaired. The ruins were invested in the year 1882 under the provisions of the Irish Church Act 1869 in the commissions of public works and has since been maintained as a national monument.